Love ought to lift all of us up. Amen. It ought to lift us to remember how God loved us, how he gave his son for us. And we love him for giving his son, and we should love him for his grace, his mercy, his tender kindness and loving heart he had for us. And then to love his son who gave his life on a cross, suffered, bled, and died, shed his blood that purchased his church, the only church you read about in the Bible. That is the church of Christ. That blood will wash man's sins away if he'll believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and make a confession before men. We believe that in the churches of Christ, that the Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. And you're visiting with us. We want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. That's our goal, is that you hear the truth and obey it before it's eternally too late. What you're experiencing this morning is the New Testament pattern of worship. Where we sing, you have no choirs, no mechanical instruments of music. We'll take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Amen. We'll take a collection, a plate to go around one time. We do not tithe. We give as we purpose in our hearts. So let it give. God loves a cheerful giver. We don't want your money. We're not going to beg for money. But God expects us to give. Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. So that's what you're experiencing this morning. We're going to preach from the Word of God. In the Church of Christ, we believe that the Bible has absolute authority. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. John chapter 2 is where we at. Turn the book of John. So if you're visiting, you are VIPs. Very important people to us that are not members of the Church of Christ. And those who are members from other congregations, you are our family. We love you. We thank you for visiting with us on this morning. Let's get right into the study. Now, the book of John has been a great study. Remember, this book really worked on developing the faith and belief of those disciples. Many other signs truly did Jesus and the present disciples not written in this book, talking about John. John was stating this, and he says, but these that are written that you might believe. So the book of John is written for disciples that they might believe. Now, we looked at chapter 1, chapter 2. Now we're in chapter 2. We're finishing up chapter 2. For he knew what was in man. For he knew what was in man. Now, we stopped at verse 13, but we need to drop down to verse 23 so I can give you the main thought of the text, and then I'm going to make application based on the main thought of the text. Now, verse number 23, when he was in Jerusalem
at the Passover,
in the feast day,
many believed in his name.
When they saw miracles, faith don't come by seeing miracles today. Our faith comes by hearing the word of God. So when they saw miracles, which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them
because he knew all men.
The reason he didn't commit or trust or put his confidence in what they were doing because he knew their belief was based on seeing something. He also, the Bible teaches us here that he knew all men. He know us. This is what we need to understand. I want you to drop down my screen over here for me and get that ready. Now listen. Here's something we all need to understand. That God know the real you. God know the real me. In 1 Samuel chapter 6 and the verse number 16 and verse 6 and verse 7. The Bible teaches us there that man looks on the outward appearance. But God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Matthew 15:18 says, so out of the heart proceed thoughts. So when God looks at us, when God looks at you this morning, what he's looking at is what's coming from your mind, your heart. God know your heart. Now, some people play on this to think they saved. You know, they say, well, you know, I don't have to go to worship because God know my heart. Yeah, he know you're forsaking worship. That's what he knows. See, you can fake with me, but you can't fake with God. Because God don't look on the outward appearance. You can say something come out of your mouth to me, and it can be a lie or it can be the truth, but you can never lie to God. That's what we need to understand. When you start looking at God, God knows the thoughts of men. What did God know? What did Jesus know about men? He knows their thoughts. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, we know you so well that every hair on your head has a number. It's Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 30. Hebrews 4:13. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 10. We are creatures. He's the creator. So what God is looking at is us. He's looking at my creation. I can see how they think. I know everything about them right down to the number head. He said, now, neither is there any creature not known.
In other words,
none of us are not known by God, by individuals. He know me. He knows you. And then he says,
but all things are naked.
All things, he said, they are naked
and open unto the eyes of him
of whom we have to do. Our life is an open book to God. God knows the birth. He knows your death. He knows the day is coming. He will appoint it. He gave you a countdown. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows why you're in this building. That's going to be the main point of my thoughts. He knows us so well that it is not wise to play with God. It is not wise to play a game with God. You can't play mind game. Now, you can mind game me, but you can't mind game God. Ain't no psychologist to compare to him. No one can search the mind of God. Go to Jeremiah 17 and 10. God knows when you speak, it's a lie. He knows if you speak, it's the truth. He knows true motives. You got folk who have false motives and intents. And they have destructive intents or the intents to harm. So you understand, God knows when anyone has an intent to harm. Something we all need to know is in Jeremiah 10, the heart. When he's talking about the heart, when he looks at the heart, the only way the Bible says about the heart, get that, read it for me.
I, the Lord, search the heart.
God said, I'm the one who looks at the thinker. Read.
I try the reins, even to give every man
according
to his ways.
I'm going to test the mind of the individual. I'll test their thoughts. I'm going to test them. The verse before verse 9, he says, here's what you look at in the heart of man. Watch what he says. Verse 9. Go back to verse 9.
The heart is deceitful.
Now, here's what I'm going to test it, because here's what I know about the heart. Number one, it's deceitful.
Above all things.
The mind, your mind, he's saying your mind is deceitful above all things. Read.
And desperately wicked.
Now, number two, the mind is wicked. People can play all kind of game with the mind. He's warning us from the young people. That's why you see children playing mind game with mom and daddy. Because their mind is deceitful and wicked. The heart of man is looked at as soil. The word of God is looked at as seed. And until that mind is a soil that's good and honest, you'll never be saved, because you're not going to be honest enough to admit you're a sinner. Amen. See, it takes honesty to admit I'm not what I should be. Now, here's the thing I want us to see. He tests the thoughts. Get Romans 2:15. In other words, God said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to test this individual, this creature that I created. I'll know who they are, and I'm going to give a mechanism to tell them that I know. Here's what it is, Romans chapter 2 and the verses number 15. The book says what?
Which show the work of the law written in their hearts.
Yeah, written in their heart. There's the heart again. Read.
Their conscience also bearing witness.
Now, there are some called the conscience. When we miss worship or when we're not doing what God told us to do, the conscience engages. God put the conscience in there to bring you to a reality, or I already know you're wrong. You don't have to admit it. I already know. What the conscience is going to say, God knows. What does the conscience say? He says it's going to either what?
And their thoughts demean while accusing.
Now, the whole time these thoughts are taking place, it's going to do two things. Accuse.
Or else excusing one another.
Accuse means guilty. That's why he say, I got a guilty conscience. You've been missing worship. You haven't been baptized. You're still drinking. You're still smoking. Still cussing. You're still shacking. You're still lying. You're still cheating. You're still stealing. You know you're feeling guilty right now because I listed what you're doing. Why? The conscience kicks in. Now, here's a problem. Here's something the conscience can do. What God gave us is going to either accuse or it excuses. Somebody can say, you guilty. You say, no, I'm not. Because the conscience says, I'm not guilty. My conscience is clear. It doesn't matter how guilty you think I am. I know I'm not. Because in my heart, I know when I did what I did and why I did it. It don't matter how much you accuse. God gave me a mechanism to say, even if the man accused you, you can be excused because you didn't do it. Here's the thing. Baptism for the remission of sin is an excusing of the conscience. It says, I forgive you for everything you're feeling guilty about. So you come up out of baptism and say, woo, I feel better. Why? Because your conscience is now clear.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse number 21. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse number 21. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21. 1 Peter chapter 3 and that's verse number 21. What the book say?
The like figure.
Now the like figure were unto
even baptism
doth also now save us.
Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh.
Baptism is not to wash dirt off. You do that at home with soap. Baptism. Read.
But the answer of a good conscience.
It clears the conscience.
Toward God.
God said all your sins. Or forgiven. Isn't that a good feeling? Now you gotta live with them because it's still in your mind. But your mind is clear because you've been forgiven. Now, so what are we getting? Getting back to the main thought. See, some of you are gonna leave here today and you're gonna still be guilty because you're not gonna do anything about it. Because it takes a good heart. When God looks at your mind, he looks at your heart, and this heart has to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save the soul of this individual. This individual must receive the word of God with meekness. What do you mean? I understand you right, and I'm wrong. God is right. And I'm wrong. Okay, now, if we see that, go to 1 Samuel chapter 28 now. Here's what's going to happen. When we look at the light of the heart, the Bible says, Solomon, son, know thou the God of thy father, verse 9, and serve him with a perfect, what kind of heart? A perfect heart and a willing mind. A perfect heart. And a woman. Here, for the Lord searches. This, when a person has self-will, it's about you. You will do damage to other people in your life. Because it's all about you. The mind that God looks for is a mind to accept his will. And you must, as Jesus did in the garden, he says, not my will, but your will be done. So God looks into the mind of man to determine if they're seeking their will or his will. A willing mind is in sync with the mind of God. Our spirit bear witness with his spirit that we are the children of God. Now stay with me now, because you can get to heaven if you listen. You'll miss it if you don't. Because people play games in church buildings like this. There's people all over Houston playing games. I'm going to show that here in a minute. So are you? Because you need to understand something. Playing the game with God don't pay off. Because he said, the Lord searcheth all hearts. I'm still in that verse. You ain't got there yet.
Which one?
Yeah, I thought you didn't know. 1 Chronicles 28:9.
First Chronicle.
Y'all going to help me along here. Yeah, praise in my name. Jesus, I'm trying to work on my reader. I like them socks, but come on now. Can you get my verse? The Lord searcheth all. Now, is there a heart left out? The answer would be what? No, there's no heart left out. He said he searched all heart and understanding all the imaginations of the what?
Thoughts.
Of the thoughts. He got there finally. If you seek him,
he will be found of thee.
But if you forsake him,
he will cast thee off forever.
Keep in mind, God knows you. When people, somebody said, well, Bruce, I don't know why my sister won't obey the gospel. Because she's not seeking the will of God. You got to have the will of God in mind. Your mind must be willing to connect with the mind of God. When you connect with the mind of God, you don't question baptism. You say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You don't question the church of Christ. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Romans 16:16, tell them the church of the Christ salute you. Which church in the Bible? Line up with the mind of God. It is not the Baptist. It is not the Methodist. It is not Catholic. It is not any Pentecostal. There was a day. When I line up with the mind of God, I line up with one Lord, one faith, one God, one baptism, and one church. Amen. That's if I have a willing. Amen. It's the will of God. Brother Brooks, good to see you. It's the will of God. Who are seeking the will of God? When we seek the will of God, God said, I will be found. There's no way to miss heaven if you do it God's way. Amen. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. That's good preaching on early Sunday morning.
Amen.
So still in John chapter 2, but this is like God, no man. That's the first point. The God, no man. Go back to John now. Back to John verse 2, chapter 2, verse 25. Let's go back over there. This is the poor man. He got us down to the number here. Ain't none of us in here play. Boy, you know, the worst thing we can do is a play a game with God. You don't think God know you sin before you tell him? Folks, you think God needs you to make a confession because he didn't know? Think about that. Oh, Lord, I just sinned. I knew I saw you before you did. Matter of fact, I knew it when you thought about it. Needing not that any man should
testify of man, for he knew what was in man.
Yeah, that's where I get my title from right there. Now, what does he know of man? His thoughts. Then there's something else God knows. He know not only the way we think, he know what's in us. He knows what's in us. Now, when you look at man, in Job 32, let's go Job 32. Job 32, verse number 8. Verse number 8. Now watch this. This is very powerful right here. This is kind of meaty. This sermon here, a little bit meaty, but you'll get it. Try to get it down there where the pigs can stop from it. Mm-hmm. Bring it down. Well, you won't miss it when I finish. He said, but there is a spirit
in man.
There is a spirit in man. What's in man?
Spirit.
Well, God says, Jesus said, and the Bible said in John 25, he said, for he knew what was in me. Then he said, and you know all men. Then he said, I know what's in them. Then he said, now so, and then Job Elihu says, there's a spirit in man. Watch what the spirit does. He said,
and the inspiration, and
the inspiration of
the
God
Almighty
giveth them spirit, understanding. An understanding. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verse number 7, the Bible says, and the dust shall return to the ground.
To the
so when a person dies, when a person dies, the spirit returns to God who gave it. The body goes back to dirt. And then the soul lives on after death. But what leaves the body is the spirit or the animation or understanding of the man, human form. There is no flesh and blood here. This is only soul. See, now, when you look at the Bible, and you start looking at spirit, spirit is interchangeable in the Bible, but in this case, you got a little S spirit and a big S spirit. When you see big S, that's God. Little S, that's you. So, when a person dies, we put them in a coffin, and you see them laying there, and they dead. That's what we call dead. What are they dead of? No understanding no more. No spirit in them. They don't know how to walk and talk and that's animation. That's spirit. I understand how to walk down this aisle, slap anybody I want to. If I want to slap, I can just pow. That was my understanding of what I was doing. My soul is troubled by it. Y'all remember when Jesus was saying the spirit is willing, but the
flesh is weak.
And then he said something. He said, my soul is troubled. There's a difference between the soul and the spirit. See, in John James 1:20, he said, wherefore I lay apart all filthiness, superfluity, and all things, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. And then when Jesus was telling about the man who thought about the bones, all the stuff he had in life, and he said, I'm going to store up this, and I'm going to do it. And then he said, so? Jesus said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required. In other words, the body will die, the spirit will leave, and the soul will not have amnesia. The soul will not have amnesia. The soul will remember this day you was in this service. Brother Brooks taught you what to do to be saved. You won't have amnesia. You won't be on no pill. You remember who's lost. You remember your family. You remember when you had chances. You remember when you gave them up. You remember how you were, because the soul has eternal memory. The torture of the soul is that I know I left that life and I didn't obey God. You understand what torment is? Torment is knowing you're lost. But if you're worried about the burning of the flames, it's the knowledge of being lost. It's tormenting. Remember the rich man? He said, I'm tormented. Go back and tell my family. Go tell them why they have chance with spirit to move and understand. If you die in your sins, Jesus says, where I am, you can't come. So what does it mean? Spirit. You understand right now. You can walk down here and get baptized if you want to. You have a choice. The soul yearns for you to save it. The spirit makes a decision. Let's get Romans chapter 8. In Genesis 2:7, the Bible said man became a living soul. God took dirt, formed man from the dust of the ground. Breathed into him, he became a living soul. So initially, when God breathed into Adam, there was a soul there. And so with the soul being there, God, it was in the image of God, because it was still a spirit. It was not physical yet. Until he sinned. And then he saw himself naked. First realization of a physical being. He was spiritual in the beginning. And when we're born again, we go back to the spiritual, because we have to receive the spirit in order to become spiritual. Our spirit, Romans chapter 8, notice what it says. The spirit, big S, itself, verse 16, the big S spirit itself bears witness with our little S
spirit.
That's us. That we are
the
who?
Children of God.
So you got God in you. You got God in you. When you are separated by sin, you and God are separate because of the sin in your life. But when baptism occurred, sin then is gone, and then God allows you to pray to him. That's why sinners can't pray, because God is a spirit. You must have the Holy Spirit, and when your spirit connect with the spirit of God, because you have spirit, little S, connect with the Holy Spirit, then you're in connection with God. Now you can pray. See, that's why those folk out there playing this game about what to do to be saved. Well, accept Jesus right where you are. Let him in your heart. There ain't nobody talking about letting nobody in your heart. You better believe with your mind. This is what you're talking about, letting him in. No, you believe. What did he say do? He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's how you be saved. It ain't about doing things, receiving. And you hear people say foolish stuff like, I just feel all right in my heart and hitting right here. You know they ain't never read the Bible when you hit right here. Well, I just feel in my heart. I got Jesus in my heart. You just ain't read the Bible yet. That's what the problem is. I already know what your problem is. You don't know no Bible. Anybody know a Bible? Go to cardiologist. He'll tell you this ain't got no thinker. Go to your car. That thing pump blood. Valves go bad. Get cholesterol, you plug them up. You got to put some stents in and unplug you. That thing ain't doing no thinking. It's doing some pumping. Amen. I got to get this closed. Let's go back to John 2 now. John 2. Let's go to verse 13. Now, this whole event from verse 13 down to 25 is because God know these people. Jesus know when he walks in this temple about these guys. And the Jews...
Passover was at hand.
Jesus went up to Jerusalem.
and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves.
Yeah.
And the changers of money sitting.
Now, note, where are they at in the temple? Place of worship. They were in a place of worship. Jesus knew, just like he knew every one of us who was in this place of worship, he knew why they was at the temple. He knows what got you here this morning. He knows why you're here. Verse 14, he found in the temple those that they were selling oxen and sheep and doves. Verse 14.
And the changers of money sitting.
Changers of money were sitting there taking their money in the place of worship. Jesus know their heart. He know their intents for being there. Now he going to take action. And he had made a scourge.
Of small cords.
A small cord. That's a whip. And he started driving. He just walked into the temple like he come in here today. Started driving everybody out of here. They ain't in here for the right reason. Get out. You didn't come to worship God. I know your mind. You in here for different reasons. Get out of here. That's what he was doing. He knew these guys was in there. They was doing nothing but going against the will of God. He knew they were not there to serve his father. Remember, he told them early in his life. He told his mom, he said, I got to be about my father's business. Y'all remember that? So here he is about his father's business. You don't get to come into the temple. And this is something Church of Christ need to remember. We can't just bring into worship whatever we want to do. But folks, they want to bring everything into worship, bass mic and praise team and praise dancing. If God didn't authorize it, you're going to get a scourging, a whip. Ain't God going to bless that worship service? No. That's the will of man. It's back to man want to be entertained. He wants to be emotionally charged. This is the mind of man, and that's not the will of God. You're in worship to worship God. The worship is not for you. It's for God. Amen. Notice what he says.
And he drove the temple.
Thank you.
And the sheep.
And when he had made a scourge, a small car, he drove them out of the temple, and sheep, oxen, and poured out the ministry, and overthrew the table. So I said, Jesus, man, Jesus cleaned up all them filthy-minded folk in the church building for no reason. He running them out of there. And he said, here's why.
And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise.
He said, what? Now I'm going to bring it to the 21st century. Folk today are selling Jesus like popcorn, candy. Look at the church buildings all over the corners. They put Jesus' name on it, teach whatever they want to teach inside, and take the folk money. That's what's going on in America, my friends. That's why we have denomination. That we have community churches. Folk want to do what they want to do. If they want a piano, they're going to put a piano. If they want a bass guitar, they're going to get their bass guitar. If they want to dance and jam, they're going to dance and jam. They're going to do whatever they want to do because it's nothing. Jesus is nothing but a piece of merchandise. If you put Jesus' name out on the building out there, you can make money. But money, the love of it, is the root. He knew that, so he drive these dudes who were working with the root of all evil out. You know what Brother Brooks charges as a preacher? Expose them. Just like Jesus doing. You know, I'll talk against anyone who bring that foolishness into the worship. It is not no place for people to come to be entertained. Shows put on for them. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Bunch of folk up here dancing, looking like ghosts. I don't put no praise team. All that stuff. They got ghostly figures and moving like they are something with the music. What is that all about? That's something you go to the theater to look at. And people, yeah, praise the Lord. Got my praise on. That ain't praising. Praising ain't clapping. We praise God with the fruit of our lips. I'm going to tell y'all something. This is why our children need to be in worship with their mothers and fathers. You want to know why? Because they need to understand what praise is not puppets. Praise is not playing. Praise is not entertaining. Praise is learning to worship God. That's why your child ought to be by you. You ought to not let them have their phones and playing and stuff in worship. That is not a good parent. Take that phone from them. And make them pay attention to what's being said. Well, you know, I feel like I don't want to push nothing on them. Okay. Well, the world going to push on them. They're going to push on. Just everywhere you board, they'll feel it. Tell them this is a place of worship. Teach them at a young age. Children can learn at a young age. This is a place of worship. Let's get back on this. The disciples remember
that it was written, the zeal of thine house had eaten me
up. So his actions brought Bible back to these disciples who were looking for the Messiah and said, this must be Christ. This is what this here is Psalm 69. This is 699. They're looking at it. Then in verse 18, then answered the Jews and said unto him,
what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these
things? These Jews don't like it that he done called them out for being in the temple for the wrong reason. Y'all follow me? He said, man, give us some sign. Who you think you is to come in here? And they're saying, like we talk, who you think you is to come in here? They're going to run everybody out, making my money. Man, where you get this authority from? Give me some sign. Show me some pop a lightning bolt or something so I know you from God. They trying to get some authority. Where do you get authority? That's like somebody walking here and start running all about. You, man, what are you doing? That's where they was at. Jesus said, here's how Jesus responds to them.
Destroy this temple.
I tell y'all what, destroy the temple. And in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up. Now, he's confusing them now. But Jesus, he's a master teacher. He working on their head. Then he said, then they said, what? Well, 46 years.
With this temple in building.
It took them 46 years.
And without this temple it up in 3 days. To build.
How you going to turn it? They think he's thinking physical. He's not talking about physical. And then he says.
But he spake of the temple of his body.
He was talking about his body. He wasn't talking about that building. He was talking about the body. And so he said, you're going to crucify me, you're going to bury me, and I'm going to get up 3 days. And the Bible says that he was speaking of the body. In other words, Jesus spoke the truth to him that I'm the Son of God. They just didn't catch it. God, I'm going to die, I'm going to bury, get buried, but I'm getting up. Amen, somebody. How do we know he's the Son of God? Because he got up from the grave. That's why Muhammad is not my man. He's still dead. When therefore he was risen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he said
unto him, unto them,
and they believed
the scripture.
There you go.
And the word which Jesus had said.
Verse 23.
Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name.
Okay.
When they saw the miracles which he did.
All right, read on.
But Jesus did not commend himself
unto them. Now we're back to where I started on. Okay, now we're back to 24. He did not commit himself unto them people.
Because he knew all men.
Because he knew what they were doing. Okay, I went through that. Knew it. And then he said, neither now did any testify man, but he knew what was in man. That was my verse. Now, I had to go to verse 25 to see. He knew when he walked in that temple, every individual that was in there, why they was there. Now, let's bring this and make the application, close the lesson. He know why you're here. Now, do you? Let me give y'all some help. Is it your life that got you up from your bed, dressed, and came to a church building? Is it your troubles? Are you hearing you half sleep right now because you really ain't here for the right reason? That's why this message don't dizzy. I'm kind of, you know. Oh, what do you say? When people can't be alert in worship, they ain't here for the right reason. Well, people, I take medication. Well, then you ought to know not to take your medicine and come to worship. Or you should go to sleep at night. Don't play. Don't play. Because if you just hear, it don't matter what I'm saying. Long as I get me a little nap while I'm at it. And you know what Jesus would do? Drive you out the temple. Now, everybody that was half asleep then popped open now. All of a sudden, they woke. Because I saw some of them. And I know I ain't just boring, am I?
No, sir. No, sir.
But we keeping it real. Because that's what you got to understand. You say, the real you, you know I'm telling the truth about you. Come here to participate in worship. You have sleep. So why are you here? Your troubles? Your sickness? Is it a habit? Or just a routine? I don't feel right if I don't go kind of thing. I've been doing it since my mama. I've been in church all my life. One sleep. Because it's just a routine to you. Is it to please a spouse? I wouldn't be here. My wife, I got to get to hear her mouth every week. Let me just stroll on in there. Scoot over. You happy? Get back in the car. I said, so you didn't think I was going to come, did you? I showed you. you get it? When I want to be, you know, man trying to be spiritual, he trying to get his wife to be more spiritual, and she ain't trying. She ain't standing me, really, if she don't like him like that. Because she know the old rascal, and they ain't trying to change. She ain't trying to help him. She slid in here with him, but she don't really want to be by him. Yeah, let's fake it. We've been doing it all this time. They think we good. They don't know we sleep in different rooms at home. They don't know you can't stand me and I can't stand you. I don't speak to you and you don't speak to me. But when we walk in, let's sit by each other, look good, and worship. Why are you here? Who invited you? Why are you here? To clear your conscience? So when you drink your juice, I worshiped. You know, some people come to get their juice. They'll be 20 minutes late. But long as I don't miss juice, I'm good. I miss singing. Miss praying, miss script reading, but I got my juice. Motives for being in worship. Socialization. Got a lot of friends. But you know what? Man, I'm struggling right now, my finances. And I heard that church will help you. So they come in and sit and sing and pray and everything else. And the next thing they know, they try to say, man, can you help me turn my lights on? Because the only reason you came was to get your lights turned on. Some folk come because they fear death. Go to the doctor, blood pressure up, heart disease, diabetes, think you're going to die now. What about our kid? Parents, maybe. Mama, I'm here. If mama hadn't made me, I wouldn't have been here. Wrong motive. You know, some folk come to here and got called eye candy. What that mean? Y'all don't know what eye candy mean? Some of them brothers, them suave brothers walk in, they'll be clean too, boy. Looking for some candy. Some good looking girls at the church building. You ain't got to worry about being drunk. Last night they were close, they were drunk, they were a little tipsy. In the church, they trying to get it right. I find me one of them. Yeah, that's some GQs, man. Joker fall in there and catch a woman in the church, mess her life up. Mess her life up. And Brother Wild Mary, they got some of them women coming here looking too. They'll take you out. They'll take you out. Next thing you know, you're in all kind of trouble. Yeah. So in closing, none of those reasons are good reasons to be here. That's my point. The only reason to be here that you're here because you want to make change. You're here because you know in your heart of hearts, this is the person I'm looking for. It's time in your life to make a change. You know in your mind, I'm guilty of sinning against God, and I'm here to try to get that right. I'm here because I need to make sure my soul is saved. And what I want us all to know, go to John 18, is that Jesus knows why we are here. I'm talking to the one person that's a member of the Lord's church. You've been out. You haven't been worshiping. I want to know, are you here to get your relationship back with God? You do that by coming down here and asking God to forgive you. Ask us to pray with you. The other person, I want you all to know that all of us have a chance to get it right. Jesus in John 18:3, the Bible said he knew all things. What he knew is that they was going to beat him. He knew they was going to whip him. He knew they was going to hang him on the cross. He knew they were going to drive nails in his hands and in his feet. He knew he would have to stay on that cross 6 hours. He knew he would have to shed blood to purchase his church. He knew he would be crucified between two thieves. He knew they was going to whip him with the scourge. He knew he'd wear the crown of thorns. He knew he would stay there. He knew he'd have to suffer. He knew how it would feel. He knew the pain. The Bible says what? Jesus what?
Therefore, knowing all things.
Knowing all things.
That should come
not
upon
only
him.
Do he know you, he knew what he was going to go through for you. So he went through all that for you. They took him off the cross after he suffered, after he bled, after he hung, after he cried on the cross. They took him down, buried him in a borrowed tomb. He resurrected with power. He said, go in the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That gospel is that death, burial, and resurrection story I just told you about. He that believed that story and is baptized shall be saved. So what he's saying, Brother Brooke, if you came for change, if you came to get right with God, you got to hear that gospel. You got to believe it with all of your heart. You got to repent right where you are and say, you know what? I'm coming to get right. I came to get right. I'm here for the right reason. Then you come down. We'll make you ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God? You'll say, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. We will baptize you immediately. And baptism is the answer to a good conscience. In other words, God will forgive you of everything. And he will add you to the true church, the only church, that's the church of Christ. And there you live faithful until you die. Or if it requires dying. And the Lord will give you a crown of life. Remember this. This is body, it's dust. There's spirit walking. But the soul will cry if it miss heaven. It'll be a crying soul. Will your soul be crying? How many of you here say you're here for the right reasons? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How many of you went to sleep this morning? Call me and ask me, did I see you? I'll tell you yes. But God already know before you answer. Here's what I want y'all to do. Where I want you ready to sing? What's your song?
Trust and obey.
Trust and obey. That's a good one. I want you to trust God and obey him this morning. Here's what I want you to do. I want those who are not members of the Church of Christ to come. We're going to baptize you this morning. We're going to baptize you right now because you came for the right reason. You ready to get your new life started? You got a new start, new beginning. You're going to go down old and come up new. You got your new start. I want those to come, all those who came for a new start. I want you to walk down here today, and we're going to give you your new start. Those who have left the Lord, you've been gone a long time, be like the prodigal son. Come back home. Give God back your life. Let him work with you. Let him work with you. I want you to come. And those who are going through trials, going through tribulation, I want you to trust him. I want you to obey him. I want you to come down, understand that God can ask your prayer, write your prayer request on a card if you want to, or come down and make it for them. We want you to come. As together we stand and sing, come to